So I thought to open our little journey through the subject matter, the power of love, by telling you of an ancient discussion which I feel captures the subject matter of love and why it is so important in a very, very nice and very relevant way. But before I start, I should greet my internet audience. We have a lot of you, I think, here. Hello. I hope every one of you will get what they came to get, and that the love will come out of your computer. Once, the great saint Jagiavalkya was sitting near a lake, and his wife and companion Maitreyi approached him. It was early morning. The birds were making their noises and sang their songs, and Maitreyi had a question. She asked Jagiavalkya, "What are the two human needs which, when they are fulfilled, leave no other needs?" Jagiavalkya went deep into meditation and collected from the bottom of the ocean of truth two jewels, two answers. He said, "Maitreyi, the two human needs which, when they are fulfilled, do not leave any other needs are to love and to be loved." Maitreyi went into her heart to see how the answers resonated with her, and decided that were good answers. She didn't have further questions on this subject. Of course, we might say, well, there are needs of safety, and we want to also quench our thirst and satisfy our hunger. These are also very urgent needs. But you know, it says when there's someone who loves you, he also gives you bread. That's at least how we say in Germany. Really, you can have everything else, but if you are not able to express love and receive love, something very important is missing in your life, and you will feel a profound sense of lack. But if you have love and you are able to express love, at that time you are bound to be very satisfied, and the other things fall into place, because you are on a level where you have more energy in your life, and where it's easy to take care of the other things. I did learn this when I was in Mumbai. I don't know if you ever have confronted the traffic in Mumbai. London traffic is really very tame and very, the London traffic is maybe like in the zoo, and Mumbai traffic is like in wilderness. It's very, very, very wild. So I was in the congested part of the town. There was a traffic jam, and I saw a beggar collecting alms from the compassionate taxi drivers, of whoever was compassionate, and this were not many people. And somehow the beggar looked just so absolutely satisfied and happy although he was sometimes denied alms, he was very, very happy. And I decided to somehow find out why he was so happy. And when he came to my window, I said through a dolmetscher, "You look just so happy. You look much more happy than the people you are asking alms from." And he just pointed to the side of the street, to his dwelling. There was a little tent, you know. And in the tent, there was a happy wife cooking chapatis and a few children who looked at their father as he was doing work. And he said, "Look, there is my happiness. I'm loving these family members, and they love me. I don't need anything more." And I said, "Very good." And I gave him whatever I was able to give him at that time. So, when someone, and that's my point, has really arrived in the home of love and is also able to express love, at that time he really is satisfied and gratified. Now, I must observe something. The people I know are very inattentive, Krishna Kirtan. It is always my experience when I give a public lecture, sometimes devotees are disturbing. So you have to make your mind if you want to be attentive or not. That's very important for the speaker. Huh? Thank you. Two human needs, to love and to express love means to love and to receive love. It's very, very important needs of the human being. And when they are fulfilled, everything is all right. Why is love such a strong thing? From where does it come? And what explains the power of this? I have found something in the Upanishads which I would like to show you. We have written it down. From desire springs desire, leaps from heart to heart. Please note that the first desire is spelled with a capital D. It means from the desire of God comes our small desire. And from the heart, with a capital H of God, this desire or karma leaps into our heart, and I also feel some desire. Love or desire has ultimately a divine origin, and when it comes into this world and takes possession of a human heart, the human being feels a divine energy which motivates him and which gives him abilities which are very, very unusual. I would like to give you an example, something which I witnessed in Croatia. Do you know that Croatia has a beautiful coastline with nice islands before? But there was one island, an island where I used to perform or used to have international retreats, where a tragedy happened. There was a husband with his two little children on a motorboat cruise, and he decided to approach an island from the sea and be with his children on that little beach. That island had a huge cliff which came down, and he decided to drive with his motorboat to that little 1 meter broad stretch of white sand, which was before the cliff and before or between the cliff and the sea. Somehow, in the process, while he was approaching, a storm started to brew, and he was happy to make it to the beach, but his boat was while the storm was going, was being lifted up, and then the storm brought it to the cliff, and the boat was destroyed. He had to stay on that little stretch of land while the storm was brewing, and he had a mobile phone and informed his wife, "We are in danger. The waves might take our children into the ocean." So the wife informed a rescue crew, and the rescue crew tried everything to save that husband and his two little daughters from the raging sea, which by now had become really like a man-eating monster, licking the beach and the cliff and trying to get the children and the husband and drown them. So really, there were helicopters. It was a nationwide rescue actions. Swimmers, boat people, but no one could approach really that little stretch of land due to the waves and the storm. The helicopter couldn't come very close because the storm was pushing it somewhere else or threatening to crush it against the rocks. You know, swimmers couldn't come close. It was, you know, that cliffy area, and it was in turmoil. So then, imagine, after big, strong rescue workers had tried their best, they see a lonely figure fastening a rope on the top of the cliffs, and somehow, in a superhuman acrobatic act, coming down, they find out who this is, they find it's Maria, the mother, not the Christian Maria, the physical mother of these two daughters and the wife of the husband. And somehow this woman got superhuman strengths and skills and abilities, and somehow made it down the side of the cliff, and somehow went down and got to her daughters and brought woolen blankets and started to climb with two of her little daughters up the rope. And all the strong rescue workers were just amazed. They could not do it. And I don't know if you know, in the previous Yugoslavia, Croatia was part of it, men were a little bit macho type, and they were really drafted by the athletic abilities of this mother trying to save her children. Later, this mother was interviewed, and it was asked how in the world she had the potency or the strength to do this climbing act, and she simply said, "It's one word, one thing which empowered me, the love for my children." And after some time of thinking, she said, "Yes, and to my husband." It was not so convincing, but what she said about her husband, but very much convincing what she said about her children. So I remember this always, and I like to tell people, because it is something which happened on the island where I give many of my retreats, and I sometimes go with the people who come to my retreat to this cliff and allow them to look down. And even when there's no storm, it really looks like a stomach churner to look down. And no one can imagine to climb with a rope down, especially not if there's storm, which makes you go, you know, fly back and forth. Now, this force of love can go through different levels. You know, as I said here, from desire springs desire, leaps from heart to heart. That is, from the desire of God, our desires come and come in our heart. The way this force manifests in our life is very much flexible. And I think the easiest to show you the different dimensions in which love appears is by reading to you a few Sanskrit words about love. I've heard that in Greenland, the Eskimos have about 60 different words for snow, because there are 60 different types of snow. They are world experts in snow. Not in London. I think in London we have only maybe 4 different types of snow, and maybe we some know the words for it. But in Greenland, where everything is snow, everyone can distinguish between 60 different types. So in the ancient India, they had, I once counted 50 expressions for love in its different nuances. And I want to read to you a few so that you can recognize a few types of love. It really depends on what level you are, which type of manifestation of this energy you are able to experience. On the lowest level, happy ball. It's still beautiful, no? I become like a flower tree here. On the lowest level of love, love manifests as, the Sanskrit word is Trishna, as thirst. You know, when I'm thirsty for something, I do not really care what the object of my thirst thinks about me. For instance, I'm just seeing something here. I would never ask the get even the idea to ask the water in this glass, could I drink you? Or would it be pleasing for you if you touch my lips? Will you give me the permission to intrude into your privacy, please? I would just go, water, God. And just selfishly drink it. So this is the way which some people who are maybe still looking for a higher experience of love experience love, a thirst where they really do not care about the rights or the feelings or the emotions which are there in the other person. They see a handsome, well-shaped woman walking down Oxford Street and feel thirst, or they feel a muscular, nice-smelling man, you know, sitting near to them in the subway, and they want to just quench their thirst without asking and even starting a conversation, you know. This is called Trishna. Then there is something like Kandapa or Madana, which is full of romance, full of words, which can either be platonic or erotic, or have a sexual dimension to it, but it is something where a lot of, let us say, exchange of feelings, which can either be expressed verbally or just a heart-to-heart, back and forth. And then there's something which I saw in Spain. It's called Manmata. It means the feeling of being really in love, but in a very excited way. Manmata is like we say in Germany, he has butterflies in his stomach. Do you have something like this in English also? And it's just a very exciting thing. Imagine butterflies fly in your stomach. It would be quite interesting. I saw this in Spain. There was a man who was proposing to a woman. It was really like in the Spanish literature. And this man was really shaking. It was really like, God, I never seen this, you know. Really, I thought soon he will levitate. The butterflies will just lift him up. I really wished I would have a movie camera there and shown it in my seminars. It was just so impressive. Some of you laugh because you might have seen this man also. Then there is something like Hrichaya. Hrichaya means mostly emotional affection and bond to a person who feel that they have a connection. Sometimes they even feel that the connection is so strong that if they are spiritually informed, they say, I think I know you from a previous life, and I'm meeting you again, and they feel something coming up, an emotional intensity, which they describe like this, that you live in my heart, and the other person says, you seem to live also in my heart, because you express what I think in the deepest core of my heart, and I seem to also understand you from a much deeper level. As I said, just like the Eskimos know many, many terms for different types of snow, the rishis and the saints of India have many, many, many forms of love which they have identified and of course categorized in what they call a journey of love. I have a very good friend. He is Dr. Kenneth Volpe, and he conducts. He's a professor at the university in Hong Kong, and he gave a seminar in Hong Kong, or a series of lectures on the subject of love in Indian literature. And he did an extensive research for many years on the different levels of love. And because we are good friends, I asked him, can you give me access to your research? Because I'm going to London and I'm invited to talk on Valentine's Day to the loving students of this university. And he said, oh yes, greet them and tell them they should not be as reserved as the Chinese. That he told me, so I've told you. So in my eyes, has done an excellent research on this, and I would like to tell you about the different levels of love so that you can find out where you are in your loving relationships. Now, what are the strengths in your love which you feel, and where is the room for you to improve in your loving relationships. He also identified the first, and let us say, and here I don't really know if I have the right English word, the crudest form of love, crude in the raw, it's not yet refined, is it called crude? Is really a desire which is like I described in the beginning with my water glass analogy, trishna, thirst, where you see the other person as an object, which you really don't really care if what is going on in them. It really comes from a feeling of inner lack. You feel you need something so strong which you don't have. And in order to overcome this feeling of inner scarcity, you just want to grab whatever you get, wealth, drugs, attention and recognition, or also love. You just like an elephant, more or less, whose trunk goes out and who takes what he needs. And sometimes your mobile phone when you are too close. The second stage of love is more elevated, because here now you are not acting just out of, you know, like a thief who goes out in the night and robs a bank. There's more emotion in it, a feeling. I saw that when I saw this man in Spain. Love on this level tends to capture every nerve and every cell in your body, even more every emotion, and charges it with energy, so that ultimately a person who experiences this emotional love, which is only possible if he gets recognized in some ways by the other partner, and if there's some connection starting, that he really starts to have this manmata experience, or is electrified like my man in Spain. The third stage of love is a love which is quite it's more a little bit more elevated, because an action in which the love is shown is there. However, in this action there is the implied feeling that I want to get back whatever I have given to you. I want to get it, preferably in a bigger amount, but give me at least what I have given to you. It is certainly enriched with feelings, and it's more than just a feeling. It is loving dealings with an exchange, which an exchange which has an expectation of being rewarded in some ways. You can find this amongst animal, from man to animal, from man to man, you know, it's a I had this when I was in Vrindavan in India last autumn. And I had a friend, a monkey, who was my bodyguard. He defended me against or from the attacks of other monkeys. But it was clear, he loved me, but he wanted also food from me for his services. Now the fourth stage is a selfless love without any expectation of return. And you find that really very much in the love of a mother to the child. Therefore, very often women who want to experience this love have this feeling, I want to have a child. I remember once I had given an interview in the TV to a very, 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 don't know how you would say in English, a journalist who had schminka, do you say schminka? Makeup, thank you. Makeup all over her visible body, at least. I had never seen such amount of makeup on a person. And she, her hair was styled, and she had clothes which was just very much pressed against the attractive parts of her body. It really looked like, for a monk, it looked like, oh, could we, 1 meter distance is also nice, women sits here. You know, it was like one of those who grab you when you are not careful. I do remember after I had conducted the interview, she got out her mobile phone, almost like a pistol, and then showed me a picture of a little boy. I said, who's this? And she said, and her whole vibration changed. It's my son. I said, you have a son? Yes. Then I said, may I ask you a question? What did you feel when you had that son? And she just totally changed. Really, you could see that a love came into her heart, which made her such a beautiful person. She said, I felt now I am complete, because I felt a type of love I did not know before. I said, was it maybe a selfless love, where you were giving more than you were taking? And her eyes became full of tears, and she said, how do you know? I thought you are a monk. I said, we know many things. So, more complete, because yes, selfless love makes the heart more soft. It is free from the limitations of need love. It is, you give. Thomas Merton, a very interesting monk, also saw that this is there when you feel somehow the divine in your heart, and when you feel your heart is touched by a divine presence, then you forget this constant pushing in your genes and in your psychology to just grab things in a thirsty way. He writes, then it was as if I suddenly saw the secret beauty of the hearts of the people around me. I saw the depths in them where neither sin nor desire can reach. The person that each one is in God's eyes. If only they could see themselves as they really are. If only we could see each other that way, there would be no reason for war, for hatred, for cruelty. I suppose if we would start to love selflessly, the big problem would be that everyone would fall down and worship each other. Now, the last step in love is something which is very divine. It is a love which many of us are secretly desiring, but which seems to be also out of the reach for many. It's a love which is poured into us from the divine, a divine form of love, which is so strong that we lose ourselves in the process and find ourselves as new people. This type of love, which is poured into us from God, and which is totally, let me say, transformative, in the sense that we really are waking up in a new dimension, is a bhakti. And there are some superlatives in the scriptures which describe this. It's like a traveler. It's likened, you know, the experience of this love is likened to the experience of a traveler who's stumbling in the scorching summer heat through a desert without a drop to drink. And suddenly he comes to the bank of the celestial river Ganga, which is washed by endless streams of cool water. And there he takes shelter in the shade of a banyan tree and just drinks and drinks and drinks. Were you ever really thirsty? When you're really thirsty and you have a whole Ganga water to Gangas to drink from, that's an experience. That is a very valuable experience. Or the experience of this divine love is like a person who's dying on his deathbed from a deadly disease and all of a sudden gets this legendary drink. It's called Amrita, nectar, which not only drives the disease out and makes him free from death. That's the feeling you have when you drink this legendary Amrita drink. No, this Amrita drink also surcharges you with such divine emotions that people will see you as a madman, totally removed from the worries and anxieties and the normal things, normal emotions in this world. You will be just super happy and laugh and dance and so on. There is, although these are superlative expressions, really, which try to confirm and transport a certain meaning, there simply is no description what divine love is really all about. It's only you can only somehow see it maybe in saints who have given up the world and all security to just throw themselves in the arms of God and to experience this love. I do know of a European saint who used to be my role model. Maybe you have heard about him, Saint Francis of Assisi. He was the son of a rich merchant, and he used to go to parties like many of us in London do. And in one party, it's described his friends saw him on the table. He was just looking with loving eyes, and he was not participating in any longer in the party talk. He talked something else. He said again and again, "Dio mio, Dio mio, Dio mio." Then his friends ran out. They were drunken into the night to make merry, and they ran through the streets of Assisi. All of a sudden, they looked around and they saw Francis just like this, with tears of love in his eyes, looking towards the sky, towards a beloved which they couldn't see. The next day, the father, who had heard about such and other events, wanted to have Saint Francis, this Francis, he wanted to confront him and said, why do you act so extraordinarily? And he said, just, Father, I have fallen in love. I want to give you back what you have given to me so that you are not disturbed. And he just took all the cloth. He was wearing this rich ornamented coats and so on. And he said, this is for you. I will now go about in this world dressed in the cloth of my love. He didn't mean just the wind and so on. He eventually got something around him. But he started to walk barefoot, and he went to a little place outside and built a little chapel, and was just so loving with everyone, taking care of poor people and so on, because he had experienced this tremendous amount of loving energy in his heart, which made him really become free from all other needs which he had. Now, don't worry, I don't want to make you Francis, followers of Francis of Assisi or saints like this. I just wanted to describe to you that this love takes really different forms on different levels, and people react in a different way to it. I would like to make a little active engagement for you. I would love to that you turn to your neighbor again for 3 minutes or so and discuss with your neighbor what love means for you. Where do you experience love? Or where do you want to experience love? What does love mean to you? And after this, I will do a little, we'll give you three practical points, how to increase your capability to experience love and to give love. These are very nice points which will help you on whatever level you are to get more intense in your love. And you will see when the love in your heart becomes more intense, you will automatically attract love like a magnet into your life. So for now, please turn to your neighbor, discuss the question. It's important for me that you really don't just joke around, but discuss what love means for you.
It really looks like Christmas here with the candles and the hearts. Very good. All right. We will go to this. I want to now come to a practical dimension and offer you a few practical tips and guidelines, maybe which will help you to experience a little bit, to go a little bit deeper in your process of love. Now, I thought for this part I would start with a meditation, but for this we need a little bit peace. That is important. And maybe Vandana, you want to say, if there are people in the corridors who want to come in, they should do this now. Because we will have to be a little meditative. I thought to do a little meditation with you, a relaxation meditation. And then, after having done so, I wanted to give you a few tips and guidelines how you can really go deep into your experience of love. Maybe what we can also do, when someone is coming in, you can just tell them to peacefully take their seat so that the others are not brought out of their samadhi.
Would it be better if we don't let anyone in
that would be very good if we really have. Maybe you would like to just tell them a few when they come that they wait a few minutes and then only they can come in when we are finished. Yeah, but no arguments outside or inside. Yeah, no Viking wars. Good. I also heard that we have a good number of viewers on the internet, and I really request you in the internet turn out the TV or anything. This is internet TV, right? So the other TV, no need. or to try to get yourself rid from distracting situations so that also an internet you can make your experiences. I suppose, yes, we were free from mobile phones. That's very good. See, the process of meditation brings us to deeper levels of our personality. And when we can access deeper areas in our personality, it is much, much easier for us to, how would I say, to contact understandings and dimensions which can really help us in our life to go a little bit more underneath the surface and discover our real treasures which are waiting for us. In this fast time in which we live, which is so speedy and which demands so much of our energy and attention, it is sometimes not possible to access these deeper parts and the deeper parts where we also know much more than, therefore meditation does help us to switch off in some ways, to turn away from being always under outside influences, and to switch on something in us which I would say is just waiting to be discovered by us. So I would love to make such a meditation with you, and I first request you to sit a little bit straight in your chairs. We want to aim at having a straight spine so that it is easier for us to, you know, to just access those subtle energies in us. I want to turn to my technical crew. Is it ready? Good. Yeah. Oh, no. We are not. No need to go totally dark. I think it is important to sometimes take a few minutes and just become aware of who you are, not the roles which you play and which do change, but the person you really are deep inside. Because only if you are connected with yourself can you start to love and be loved. If you are on the superficial platform, you may meet another superficial person who wants to gratify his thirst with you, or who has some, you know, beginning states of love, but who cannot love and who does know what to love in you except for what he perceives on the surface. I want to now speak about my second tip. First tip is realize who you are. The second tip I would like to say is enter the loving triangle. Now, I don't speak of the Bermuda Triangle. I don't speak of a triangle relationship, which is something awful. Do we say in English triangle relationship? We do have this? You're another, she is with you but loves another person. And as she embraces you, she looks at him and says, in 1 hour, darling. and vice versa. That is terrible. But if you want to come to a deeper level, there is a third person which should be there in a loving relationship. I'm speaking obviously as a spiritual person of the divine, of God, of Krishna, or as you the way you call him. I became aware of this in a lecture which my spiritual master gave, and later read something about it. He said, when two people are together walking in the darkness, they don't see each other. So if very often this is happening in mundane relationships and worldly relationships, two people who are in ignorance about the real self, the soul, they are not really seeing each other. And when they talk to each other, you say, he's saying something like this, she is answering somewhere here, and the two sentences never meet, or the two people never meet on the same level, because they have not connected with themselves. So two people walking in darkness can't see each other, and therefore can't love each other properly. However, if two people walk and there is the sun in the sky, they can see each other very nicely, and they can eat together or travel together, even ride on the same bicycle together, no problem, when there is the sun available. So in relationships also, we need a presence, a divine presence, the presence of God, who helps us to see each other, just like the sun, which rises in the morning, helps people to see each other. That's a very important project, a very important idea. So, in a relationship, it's always good to have some vision, some light, some divine presence, so that, yeah, there's a real connection, there's a real vision, a real seeing. I call this the love triangle, and I would suggest this when you meet together as people who are interested to maybe have a relationship. Then bring this third person into the relationship. Talk about spiritual things. Talk about the Supreme One, the God who in whom you all rest and who connects all of you. And you will see light entering the relationship, a lightness, a divine plan even. And you will see how obstacles coming away because of darkness are going away. No?
Something else, which there was a very nice question from
Nick. From Nick, thank you. Nick was discussing something with me, and it was privately between us, but I thought one aspect of his question was extremely relevant for all of you. See, sometimes people feel that if they enter into a relationship with the divine, they do become incapable to take care of other people and to be with other people and have a meaningful exchange. They somehow become like this, you know. I would like to advocate something which I call the relationship cross. we had a retreat and someone said the Holy Cross. No, I'm talking about the relationship cross. If you have a strong vertical relationship, that is a relationship with the divine, and you let the inspiration which you receive come into your heart, and then you bring that into your horizontal relationship. That means the relationships to other human beings and maybe even to animals, birds, ants, and so on. You will really, how do I say, you will really be able to experience another dimension of love. I have someone in mind, which I saw him last year. I was sitting at a sacred place, Radhakund, and all of a sudden, as I was sitting and doing my own meditation, and I had opened my eyes to just open the eyes for a while, and I saw this man coming down the steps. And all of a sudden, then I closed my eyes again, and I did some more Japa chanting, and all of a sudden I saw him surrounded by 20 dogs or so. He had a blanket because it was cold in the morning, and he just exuded such a quality of happiness, and he was radiant, and he was, and all the dogs were around him with their tails like this, and I became interested and put down my meditation, my japa, and I just looked. And I saw how he was going to one corner in Radhakund, and he, under his blanket, he took a hole. He had a bucket full with chapatis. Do you know what is chapatis? I love chapatis, you know. And he started to feed the chapatis to the dogs, and there was a relationship going on. Later, I met that person. And I visited him, and I didn't have my glasses with me. I didn't know if I had seen him. And I asked him, "Did I see you the other day in a blanket feeding dogs?" He smiled at me and said, "Yes, that's me." What was in your mind? These are all part and parcels of Krishna," he said. He was a Krishna devotee, like me. "These are all part and parcels of Krishna. And I have learned that if you treat others with equality and with mercy, that this is something which the Lord likes." Later, I saw the same person, and there was some problem. I saw only 20 dogs coming all of a sudden around him, and they chased away some unpleasant person who had behaved unpleasant. And you know, there was a loving relationship with the dogs, and the dogs responded to this, you know, very nicely. I think what I want to express with this story is, if you have a relationship, a vertical relationship to the Supreme, you are able to also respect other beings in that way.
And you don't cut anything.
Yeah, oh my God, I'm the longest talker in the universe. I have many more things to share, but I don't want to overload you. And let me give you the summary. I wish you love, and I wish that you can express your love. To do so, I recommend to you, as a spiritualist, that you go a little bit deeper and connect with yourself, with your soul a little, and then make a connection with the divine, and you will see, once you're connected with yourself and with God, you can start to love, and you can start to receive love on a very ecstatic and high level, which will not deplete itself so easily and not become so easily unattractive and dull. You will become a loving person who attracts a lot of love. And my tip to you is, really, my dear people, I have seen, if you always expect others to love you, you know, like that thirsty man who just wants to drink, nothing will come. Start to love first. There was a saint once who had spiritual solutions for material problems, and a man who was very distressed came to him and said to him, can you help me? My wife has left me, my children think I'm a jerk, and so on. Can you kindly help me? And the saint said, well, let me ask you a question. Have you already taken care of someone today? And the man said, me? I need care. I can't give care. And he left the saint disappointed. So the saint then turned to his other people who were around him and said, oh, it's a pity. If you take care of others, God takes care of you. So if you give love, you can get love. It's almost like, you know, having an apple tree, you first give him water and then the apples will come. If you climb the apple tree without having given him water and try to rip some apples from him, you won't find anyone. You won't find apples. Or if you try to make grass or get grass by pulling grass, pull, this is not how you get grass. You will break grass. Better is you give water to the lawn. This is England where people have lawns. Give water and then it grows. So give love and you will receive love. This is a little bit what I wanted to say. I thank you very much, and please be kind to me. I know I went long, but you know I'm trying to speak English, and that is an adventure for me. So it was a little long. Thank you very, very much. And if you want, we can now. What should we do? If you have questions, I will ask very briefly your questions. But first of all, thank you. Thank you. You make me sweat in my attempt to speak English to you. Could you understand everything?
Yes.
Yeah? All right. Anyone has any questions from the talk? Yes, please. I'm not sure if I acoustically understood you. Did you say, can there be between two people? It is said that it depends on what level the people are, obviously. But there are forms which come almost to that level of unconditional love. For instance, what a mother gives to the child. I mean, have you ever thought about what it takes to give birth to a child and then nourish the child with your breast milk and so on? And the child is not so super responsive. Sometimes he passes different liquids. That is also there. And then they don't the children become teenagers and they go like, I don't love you, mother, and so on. But mother is always mother. It said the closest of the closest example of unconditioned love can be found in the love of a mother to the child. Therefore, in Indian spirituality, you may sometimes disobey your father, but mother is always mother. Very has given the sacrifice, very special. Yeah. Now I think you are thinking between men and women if there is unconditioned love. There is a scripture which deals with this question, and they say it's very, very difficult, very difficult. And the scripture also talks about the sexual exchange between men and women. It's very difficult to be unconditioned. You find this very rarely amongst conditioned souls. We are all conditioned. We are all in the body, and we are dependent on moods and on weather and on so many things. And therefore, we are often needy people and cannot be very unconditioned. However, as a person spiritually evolves and becomes more and more pure from egoistic mentalities, he will be able to come to the unconditioned platform. I recommend you to try to go into the school yourself and try to just see another person as someone whom you can help to bring the best out of themselves. I really want to recommend you this. This is given in the scriptures as sacred spiritual texts of India as a real exercise. When you come together with someone, try to help them that the best comes out of themselves. And as you do this, you will see something. You will see that the person whom you have tried to coach or monitor to bring out the best in themselves will all of a sudden view you in such a nice and, let us say, first of all, grateful way, but then he will also think to also bring the best out in you. But there are many relationships which we know, you know, where someone gets on our nerves and then the verses comes out of us, an atom bomb of volcanic emotions, bang. So I would say on your question, if there is such a thing as unconditioned love in this world, please find out in your own life. Let us not be theoreticans of theorists in the field of love. We have to be practical. And my suggestion for you is try to help others to that the best comes out of them, and you will see they will help you that the best, what you are capable to give, comes out of you. And then you approach a very, very, at least wonderful level of love, which is very, very good. Whether it is unconditional or conditional, you have to find out. See, love is something, if you want to enter it, you have to enter it in your own personal life. And I think you know this. Yeah. Thank you for your wonderful question. Good. Anyone else has a question? Yes. What stops us from sharing?
From sharing love.
From sharing love. What stops us from sharing love? You mean giving love to others? Yeah? I would like to ask you, you means everyone. What stops you from giving 100% to everything, in everything what you're doing or anything you're doing? Very often it is fear. If I do this, I mean, what will the other person do with me? Or what will life do with me? Fear is the opposite of love. And in the Bhagavad Gita, which some of you know as a philosophical wisdom book, it said, those who attained love always had to break down the dam of fear. Vita raga baya krota, fear and attachment and anger is a dam around us which stops our love from flowing outside. Fearful. Because when you love, you're no longer in control. some of us are scared. That's why some men just don't like to any longer enter personal relationships, and some women also, because they have been hurt again and again and again, and just afraid. So if you want to develop any kind of love, which is a little, you know, which is the real thing, fear has to be slowly, has to go. Anyone else? Not everyone at once, please. How to overcome the fear? Yeah, this is a good question and a deep question. Ultimately, everyone has to know where is his or her ashraya. Ashraya is a term in Sanskrit which I want to introduce here. Ashraya means a place of refuge or shelter on which you can depend and from which you get strength. Ashraya, this word comes from the root, Sanskrit root of Shri, which means to depend on, to join with, to connect with. And it is described, someone who has this feeling of ashraya or shelter becomes or contacts Shri, that is a divine goddess which makes him effulgent. Now this ultimate shelter has to be a spiritual one, because anyone can disappoint us. And also the best human person next to us can die, and then we grieve very much and don't have any longer a point of reference in of love. So that divine shelter will take the fear away from us and make us go fearlessly. I remember an incident. I was once in Heidelberg, that's in the town. And I was singing on the streets, swaying back and forth, and all of a sudden I saw a man 50 meters down the road going into the kung fu position. You know, and his aggression was aimed at me. So he clearly didn't like my singing, which I cannot tell. I don't think that is a bad thing. Don't sing very well. And I saw how fear was entering my heart, because who wants to be beaten up? You know, he looked like Arnold Schwarzenegger in his best days, you know. He really looked fierce. And at that moment, I could understand, because it happens. Germans are sometimes a little nervous and aggressive, and violence does happen, especially in that part of the town. And I thought, this is the end of my life. I was really a little afraid. Then I just connected myself with my ultimate shelter. And you know, I knew this man was, he was, I had opened my eyes. Now he had screamed, you know, that's the attack scream. And he was just charging at me. And I just closed my eyes and went, Hari Bol, you know. Because how can you defend yourself when a war monster attacks you? So the next thing I thought, now I will get it, but I didn't get it. I opened my eyes again, and I saw a scene which evoked deep feelings of compassion in me. Another person from a bar had seen this man charging at me and wanted to, I don't know, he wanted to bring me to the hospital, I think. And he just came at him, and he totally leveled this poor guy onto the floor so that I had to call the ambulance for my attacker. The whole thing had changed around. And then this man, who was really the master of Kung Fu, or how it is called, he went into the bar, and he came out with a tablet and an aristocratic-looking glass full of mineral water and said, "For you." I never saw this man again. I do not know up till now who was this man. But I know that connecting with your ultimate shelter frees you from fear. That was my experience. All right. You all smile at me, and I smile at you. It was wonderful to be with you. Thank you so very much once again. I really hope that you will be successful in finding and expressing love, and also realize it on higher and higher levels. And for that, I really request you to sometimes connect with yourself, you know, to think about what I said about the triangle relationship, inviting the sun into your relationships, so that you can see the other person, the other person can see you. I also request you to try to take with you this little thing that to experience love, you have to give. Just like to get fruits, you need to water the tree first. Another thing I would like to request our Anand, to maybe inform you, I have heard that there are regular lectures. He is one of the regular lecturers, Bhuta Bhavana, with us. And you can hear many lectures, which I suppose are much better than mine. And in this way, dive deeper into this thing. Yes, Anand, I request you to come. One, two, one, two.